Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Portal to Ascension Radio. Thank you all so much for being with us here today. And we have another interview today with one of our speakers for the Portal to Ascension conference that's going to be in October 5th, 6th, and 7th of this year. And if you guys have not been following, we are doing a series of interviews, and I think we've done around 10 now just in the last like 4 weeks. With different speakers showcasing a range of conscious information for, and also setting the precedence for everything that we're doing this whole year with Portal to Ascension that is going to be ending in this huge finale, which is going to be our conference in Irvine. And it's called the Portal to Ascension Conference. It's the first one that we've done that's named Portal to Ascension. We've done other events for conferences, workshops, and tours. But every event from now up until then, we have like 150 events scheduled, is basically funneling everybody into that, whether it's through live stream or attending in person. And the intention is that this year, I don't know if you've noticed, guys, but there's a lot of chaos and a lot of beauty happening at the same time. A lot of changes, a lot of new technologies coming onto the scene, a lot of information about disclosure of the extraterrestrial presence, about the understanding that we're all quantum beings on this reality, and this reality isn't as real as we always thought it was. So with this, fueled our passion to create even more events and travel the entire planet, streaming events, offering many different services so that we can end the year with a huge celebration about what we're going to be creating this year. So the October conference is not just a profound event that's going to cover many topics, but the three main topics are going to be extraterrestrial awareness, past, obviously the ancient alien connection, present, what's going on right now with disclosure, and the future implications of that. Then we have ancient civilizations and a true world history. Our history, guys, we've been manipulated, lied, and rewritten so many times that our true history, we really don't know. It's been lost in translation. So there's a lot of new evidence coming out now, and one of the speakers, Graham Hancock, and another one, Robert Schock, are on the forefront of rewriting our history, not adding a chapter to history, like he says, but rewriting it, because the information that's going to come out isn't going to just give us another perspective of the history. It's going to make us realize that the history that we had wasn't real history at all. So that's going to be a huge component to it all, which the extraterrestrial connection actually comes from. And then the final component would be the evolution of consciousness. And today our talk is really going to be around with Meg Benedicti. She's going to be coming on in a second. It's going to be about the ascension and the evolution of consciousness, because that's what it's really all about. All aspects, whether it's conscious nutrition, whether it's just overall health, whether it's vibration frequency, sound healing, it's all about expanding our consciousness so that we can reach this other realm of existence and live on harmony on Earth. So today we're bringing on Meg Benedicti. And Meg has been on a couple of our events before, and I really enjoy her information. And she's basically what I would say an ascension teacher. She has been on multiple panels at Conscious Life Expo, and she's going to be at one coming up next month, the New Living Expo, on the weekend of April 27th, I believe, where she's going to be doing on the Ascension panel there. And her entire thing is basically assisting people and teaching them about the Ascension and how they can tap into their own innate abilities in order to reach that level of consciousness. So just a little bit about Meg here. She discovered at an early age that she had a unique gift for understanding subtle energies and later for discerning the vigorous traumatic patterns that relate dysfunction and ill health. Over the years, she's become a notable pioneer in quantum healing, which I love, and ascension activations, first through her own transformation and eventually working with clients spanning the globe. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her on and let her tell you a little bit more about herself. So bring her on. Meg, you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Meg. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's thrilled to be here. I'm really excited about our event in October. And of course, this is my favorite topic to discuss. So
right.
So I guess you want me to just kind of introduce how I even got into all of this.
Yeah, why don't you just tell us your story about, you know, what led you to being an ascension teacher?
Sure. Okay. So I was born and raised in Los Angeles and having just kind of a typical corporate career out of college. And then in the January 94 Northridge earthquake, I had a spontaneous Kundalini activation, and it literally felt like lightning bolts just just running through the whole body system, the bioelectrical system. I was spasming and shaking, and it was really very intense on the body, but it completely blew open what I would say the higher brain centers. And so all of a sudden, I saw more of what was happening around in me and around me, and also what was coming almost 20 years later in 2012, which we call basically kind of the launching point of this ascension. And so I had, within days of that awakening, I realized that I was seeing from a completely different perspective. And what I realized is I had actually encountered a walk-in experience. And so for those who are new to that term, it was where a second soul entered into an existing soul's body and life and consciousness. And we coexisted for quite some time. It wasn't easy. It was kind of a bit of a push-pull between will, between the two of us. But eventually, I took over the life, took over the body, and started to convert it to my own soul code and consciousness and purpose. So this has been 24 years that this has been going on. And how I integrated with this higher presence, this it was actually an angelic soul presence that came in, was intense and profound. I could literally lost weekends of going into trance states and getting a lot of data downloaded in, a lot of code was activated, and clearing out the lower vibratory consciousness and, you know, family ancestral patterning and ego fear-based programming. I mean, there's just a lot to get free of, and also help the mind disentangle from what I call the planetary matrix programming of control. So I had to go through it myself, and it was intense, and it was slow going because 20 years ago, everything moved very slow. Everything was very dense and tightly compressed with time. Now, of course, everything is unlocking since 2012, and so everything is getting faster and more advanced, and we're able to do a lot more now very quickly. But back then, it was slow go, and by going through it, it probably was helpful that it was slower, because then I could actually understand each of the steps that I was going through being guided by my higher self. I didn't have a teacher. I just was, from the get-go, warned not to read too much, not to work with any guru or teacher, but really stay inward focused on working with my higher self guidance. And for the first 10 years or so, I worked very closely with Ascended Master Saint Germain. And then in 2004, I had a visitation in the night by Archangel Metatron. And he placed his hand on my heart center and on my brain center and activated Metatron's cube within my own genetics and biofield. And this was a significant activation so that I was able to really start to accelerate my process and help others utilize the power of Metatron's cube, his sacred geometry of creation. And so that's kind of just a really, in a quick summary, kind of what got me on this path, and then doing it myself, and then helping other clients and groups do it, and then teaching it as well.
All right. That's amazing. So you're, back to your Northridge Kundalini experience, you're saying that that actually happened during the earthquake, like the earthquake was
yes.
occurring, and then you had your awakening?
Yes, and for those who weren't aware of that earthquake, it was pretty interesting because the center of it was in Northridge, but it shot out like branches through the whole LA area, and I was living at the beach, and it hit our area like an 8 point. It was huge. Whole
wow.
buildings were just, you know, shuddering, and my bed was up and off the ground, and things flying off the walls. I was like, oh my God.
Whoa.
So it was really pretty catastrophic in that sense. Whole malls were flattened in Santa Monica. I mean, it was just pretty strong. But for me, it was all energetic. That's really where I experienced the most shift and trauma in the body. But it just kind of, think of it like putting your finger in an electrical socket. It just blows everything open. And that's what it did.
Mm-hmm. So were you into consciousness and spirituality before that, or was that kind of your shift?
None. No. Nope. Nope. Zip. Nope. I had
you weren't even into it.
No, I didn't know anything. I had to learn how to meditate.
Wow.
I didn't even know what a chakra was. I had to I had to learn all that.
And you said you didn't have any teachers, that was your download. So was it all self-taught?
Yeah. Yes.
The downloads and through the walk-in experience?
Yes. So it was pretty much kind of trial and error. I would get and now thank God the clairvoyance was open. So I would get an image or I get a guidance. So for example, one of the first guidance was to work with vortex energy, which I didn't know anything about. So they said, well, just imagine you draw a circle with 12 points that connect the 12 dimensions and the 12 chakras. So sit in that circle and just start spinning. And that's very basic, simple instructions so I could get started. And I just kind of felt intuitively through it. So in a way, it was more of remembering than learning, because obviously my soul knows how to do this from other timelines and universes.
Mm-hmm. So when did the walk-in experience happen? That happened at the same time or a little later?
Yes. Nope. It came in during that Kundalini activation during the earthquake, and I immediately realized I was coexisting with another soul, and it was a low vibratory soul. It was a drac soul, and it was tough being in that presence with that kind of consciousness, but it taught me what was happening down here and how they operate. So in a way, I can see now, in hindsight, my soul chose to come in to a drac family, a drac soul, to bring the crystalline diamond light into that system and start helping to kind of dismantle that system.
So when you say a drac soul and I think you said lower vibratory, are you speaking of vibratory as in have their intentions or more lower vibratory intentions, or was it an awakened soul that was at a certain frequency? Can you explain a little more about that?
The soul that I joined originated from the reptilian Orion race that invaded this planet. So it was very much almost very little heart-centered development and operating from ego and the lower chakras.
Wow. So that must have really tripped you out, right? Because you weren't even into this stuff. And all of a sudden, there's it's almost like if you were a Catholic, you might think it's the devil.
Right. Pretty much. It was stalking. I'm wait a minute. What did I do here?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So, okay. And then you learned your lessons, because obviously there is no real good and bad on the higher level. It's a lesson in this experience. So this entity gave you this experience of darkness to kind of give you the idea of the matrix, because you are the person who assists people exiting the matrix, right?
Yes. So in a way, that was my key code into the matrix. Yes.
Right.
And how they think and how they operate, and they're very manipulative and pretty cold-hearted. And so I had to observe it and in a way counter-correct a lot of what she was trying to do. So, right from the get-go, I was already starting to influence the direction of that life. And eventually, you would wonder, why would she allow you in? Because I started that ascension process right off, that week of the Kundalini activation, she got a good deal. I helped her clear her karma. I helped her also raise her vibration and start to learn some compassion. So there was a good kind of exchange going on there between us. And she let me into their dark matrix, and then I helped her evolve and eventually help her transfer out. I helped.
So was this reptilian a part of your ancestry? Were you connected on some soul level like that?
No. I haven't really been here too often. Just a couple times. I seem to only jump in as a time jumper, a walk-in. I've never really been in the matrix, and so I don't have karma like that. I think my soul works mostly at the stargates and the grid work. That kind of stuff is kind of the more higher dimensional support, but and I think that was supposed to be the plan, but then by the time we reached 2011, you know, it was just really becoming very clear from, I came from the future and we saw that it was, this ascension was lagging on this planet. So a lot of us came to be kind of like the ground troops to help anchor more of the diamond light so that we could really uplift this planet into higher consciousness.
Right. And now let's move into your work. What kind of experiences are you having with your work? And when you're connecting with other people, are you literally training light workers that are going to be the teachers for the new dimension, or what is it exactly?
Yeah, I definitely work with a lot of light workers who have public missions, you know, who are here to lead this whole process. And so in a way, I work quite a bit behind the scenes helping get them out of the matrix, or where we go into their Akashic records and start downloading their blueprint and activating their light body and getting them up and running so that they can really embody their powerful soul presence and do the mission they're here to do. So I do a lot of work with that, a weekly working with clients. Lot of first waiver light workers come to me because they're the ones who have been in these dark systems just like I was, and so they're having trouble getting free of some of that. And because I went through it, I totally understand it, so I can just hold space with them and help, you know, bust out whatever's left that was holding them locked in those dark systems. But the positive thing is that it worked. You know, look at these systems, they are collapsing now. They don't have the power they used to have or the hold they used to have. So the first waivers were very successful in coming in like system busters. And so I help them. Yeah, I help anyone who, or if they're not a system buster, but they know they have some higher calling, higher mission, but they aren't quite clear yet. So helping them get their clairvoyance open and being able to connect more to their soul blueprint and get going. We really, you know, it's time. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel like this year is like pushing all of us out publicly more? Yeah, it's like time to get going.
Yep, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this year is a super call to action, you know, and for a while when I first got into all this, I was like everywhere, like just shouting, like shouting aliens or shouting consciousness, like just, you know, preaching it. And then I went through a period where I was like, okay, I'm not going to interfere with anybody's reality. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm just going to live by example. But now I'm kind of in between both of them, you know, like I'm living the paradox, I feel like. Because I don't have any expectations of what people choose. However, I'm going to shout from the top of the mountain that this thing is real, you know, because it's at a point like your comfort zone, our comfort levels and our comfort zones are being tampered with enough that people are starting to wake up because they're not living as harmonious as they could. So there's one thing to be said about leaving people, but there's another thing to be said about leaving people when they're suffering, when you have a way out of that, you know?
That's so right. That's what drives me too.
This year is the year for that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I keep seeing visions that I see the first waivers really moving very quickly this year through a lot of this solar wave activations into more of living in their light body. By the point we get to the end of the year, we'll look back and just go, oh my God, I can't believe how much has changed.
Yeah, I feel that. For sure. And are the first waivers the indigo, or can you be more specific about who they are?
Well, yes, they are indigos. They have been awake and working the process, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. So they've been really dedicated to it. You could even, you know, kind of think of like the old 60s hippies, you know, they're the ones who were really kind of paving the way and bringing the light to the planet resisting the establishment, you know, the matrix programming. So they do, but I also, you know, I also work with younger folks, but they've just been doing the ascension process a long time. So they must have been very young when they awakened and were called to this. You know, they might be in their 30s or 40s, but they've been really living it. You know, this is, people say, well, when will I be done? I'm like, no, this is a lifestyle. You're going to just commit to it and live it. So, yes. Right, so there's indigos. I think I call us rainbows as well, because we're originating from all the different, you know, galactic tribes and star systems. But there could be also quite a bit of crystal souls. I feel that anyone who's working with 12-dimensional light and systems and code are crystalline beings. So I think the first waivers, we have a lot of crystalline avatars that are leading the mm-hmm. way as well. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but I think it's really more how long you've been awake and working it kind of determines if you're leading this first wave.
Mm. Do you have any information on, because you said the 12 strands, things of the 12 dimensions. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot about the 12 strands of DNA. I've heard a lot about carbon-based becoming crystalline-based. Do you have any information on that?
Yes. So since 2012, we've moved the whole star system. Our solar system has moved into the galactic photon band, and so we're receiving really high frequency waves, and there's crystalline light in those frequency waves. I see it emanating from the 12th dimensional stargate at the galactic center. So this is it's a black hole portal that's bringing crystalline light into our universe. And so if you are of that lineage, you're able to use it quite easily. And this is some of what I do in my monthly galactic global activation webcasts. I take them there so they can connect to the outpouring of crystalline light from the galactic center at that great central sun and be able to start to bring that into their own bodies, bring that into their pineal, into their master cell, into their genetics, and start the transformation from lower, what I would call less evolved human genetic code, birth family, ancestral lineage, and really start to activate more of your soul presence that brings in your soul code. So this is galactic code coming in and coming alive inside us. And I work with the inner chakra channel that has 12 chakras. So there's the 7 in the body and then the 5 transpersonal chakras above the crown. Each chakra connects to one of the 12 dimensions, which connects to one of the 12 strands, which, you know, there's this whole beautiful, right, synchronicity of all of that that's interlinked. And so to me, once we get to 12th dimension and higher, we really are getting into, I would say, that crystalline realm.
Right. What's beyond the 12th dimension? Is the 13th dimension the void?
Yes, that's how I experience it. When I go into 13th dimension and beyond, it is what I call the Godhead. It is pure creation. You could call it, you know, just from quantum mechanics, you could call it the virtual particle field of electrons. You know, it's just pure. It's pure light potential.
Right. And I've heard, I think that's why the number 13 is considered a negative number because of its power, right? Being the Godhead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
So I'm looking here. I know, right? Wherever I see the number 13, I can't help but think like it's been taken out for some reason. Even if you look at like the 12 apostles and Jesus, it's 13.
Yeah.
If you look at the Mayan gods, there's 13 deities in the one. It's 13 everywhere. And even in Hinduism, there's only one God, but there's like the 13 gods that have other demigods, you know? So it's like all these 13 are the fragmentations of the one source. And I exactly believe that that's what connects us to the void. And maybe we start our incarnations again. Maybe like we exist in these 12 dimensions and we incarnate within them. But when we get back to the 13th, we can be recycled into another universe with different laws of physics or something, you know?
Yes, I agree. Yes.
Yeah. So I see on your website you practice quantum healing. Is that Dolores McCannon's technique?
No, it's my own technique. This is what I was guided to do after the earthquake, and it's working with the sacred geometry of Metatron's cube. This is the template of creation in our universe. It's Metatron's cube is so fascinating because it's embedded with the 5 platonic solids that correspond to the 5 elements in nature that form atoms. You know, so it is an organizational structure of molecules, even in crystals. And it's made of the tetrahedron, the hexahedron, the octahedron, the icosahedron and the dodecahedron. Mm-hmm. And when you put these, you know, these all start to get turned on within your field. Also, it has the double star tetrahedron Merkaba embedded in Metatron's cube. So when we work with this template, it's magical. It just starts opening up all of these different levels within us that we were locked into by the time matrix. And that's, you know, that's one of the key points that I help people work with to unlock from the matrix is we everything in this universe is spiraling, and it's either spiraling clockwise or counterclockwise. So we've been in a planetary field of clockwise compression that squeezes all the energy to create this particle that we call an atom that creates physical life, physical matter. Well, the problem with that time compression, the clockwise spiral, is it locks everything in, and it separates us from our spirit, from soul, from the universe, you know, from higher consciousness. And so I work with people and work with Metatron's Cube to help open up an anti-clockwise spinning vortex around their field. And this is a time reversal. So when we spin anti-clockwise around our body and our field and into the atoms, we begin to unlock that compression of gravity. You know, we're starting to remove density, remove the gravitational field compression so that you can actually get into your energy body. And at that point, then, you can start this ascension process. You can start to clear all that got in there that's been limiting you. So this is the technique that I was guided to do to unlock myself and then help others to do it and then offer it as part of my mission in teaching it and doing, you know, group meditations and such with it so people get it. A real kind of a visceral knowledge and understanding of how this is what they were doing in ancient, you know, Egyptian mystery schools is to unlock gravitational fields. So this is it. So we're starting to work with that again in our own fields and then on the planetary field as well.
Wow, that's beautiful. And do you actually use like visual Metatron's cubes, or how is it? Do you envision your head, or is it pictures?
Yes, you envision it in your head, and I work remotely with everyone, so I'm actually embedding it under their feet and their grounding platform so that it can start to open up and around the body and around the aura. And then as you work with it, it rises up into your body, and it begins to open up the double star tetrahedron, which is the geometry of your torus, you know, and most people don't have a torus running yet. So when you start to get that geometry opened up and activated, it begins to naturally start to open up the torus running around your field.
Right. And is that connected to the Merkaba? Because I know the Merkaba has like a tetrahedron kind of shape too, right? Yeah.
That is the Merkaba. Cool. Yes. Yeah.
So, and I've watched videos from back in the day from Jim Self. He does a lot of things with Merkaba. But I've heard that, you know, on certain civilizations that we don't even need, you know, spacecraft or even light ships to transfer, but we can just utilize our own Merkaba to relocate our consciousness, right?
Yeah, people say, you know, do you go to a ship at night? And I'm like, no, I just use my Merkaba. I'm a time jumper, so I don't have a ship. That is my ship.
So are we becoming fifth dimensional, or are we becoming 12th dimensional beings living on a fifth dimensional Earth?
I think we have the opportunity to open up to all 12 dimensions on a fifth dimensional Earth. I don't think we have to stop at fifth dimension at all. And I don't think people are. So I think in a way, you know, Gaia is becoming fifth dimensional to support us, as you mentioned earlier in the intro, you know, in a harmonious field. And then when you're able to be in that equilibrium, right, that zero point in a harmonious field, then there's no limits. You can work with opening up to 12 dimensions if you want to.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I feel too, that like you are all going to be at a certain frequency because you can't be at under this frequency in this new reality. But then if you want to cultivate it and achieve higher levels of consciousness, you're able to do that, and there won't be any prejudice, judgment, or separation. Like if we were to do that right now on this planet, there would be like division, separation, and war, you know? It's just not going to be the same way.
Yeah. No, that's so true. Mm-hmm. We won't. In fifth dimension, I don't experience that aggression, you know, that competition and adversarial energy at all. It's smooth and much more harmonious.
Yeah. So I'm not really about dates. I used to be about dates before 2012. And after 2012, it seemed that a lot of people who were about dates and about a certain day for ascension started becoming more present in the moment and are just working now to change something rather than waiting for something to happen.
Yes.
Right? But I still do ask the question, when do you feel, like, what do you feel is happening with our planet? Because Hindu tradition has been translated to say it's going to take 1,000 years to get to the fifth dimension. Mayan tradition has been translated to say that we're already there, now we just got to collectively shift it. So what's your take on that?
Okay, I'm with you. I experience the fifth dimensional field already anchored into the earth plane. I think that's part of what all the first wavers were doing last 20, 30 years was to, in a sense, kind of open it up here and get it anchored, and we get into it and we make it our home base and it comes alive and it's available to everyone. And so if for people who are kind of trying to conceptualize that, think of it as like two parallel fields operating on the planet at the same time. You've got this lower 3D matrix field, and then you've got this 5D field of harmony and collaboration and compassion. And so these are two, let's say, holographic realities available to us to choose. Because people say, well, what happens to maybe people who aren't awake yet? You know what? Everybody has the choice right now. You can choose where you want to ground your field. And so every day I just make that choice and command to anchor and ground my field into the 5D earth. And it works.
Right.
And so that way then, like you said, we're not waiting for some magical moment, you know, thousands of years from now. I just see the ascension as more of an experiential process, that the more of us who join in and do it, the faster it picks up speed.
Right, exactly. So it's interesting because it's destined. The destination has been chosen, but it's the journey that counts. And we're on this journey together, and the free will is like, it's us, like you and myself and other people like us, that are out there doing this work to assist in shifting the consciousness of the planet. So the only work to really be done is just to inform more people. Because what I've noticed is when you feel and resonate with the truth and it actually goes with you, you don't really turn back. And so a lot of people just need to kind of resonate with the truth of who they are and the truth of the cosmos. And all we can do is just keep spreading the awareness, you know?
It's so true. And there was this concept in quantum physics that just struck me, and I just see it happening over and over again. And it's like when two energy waves cross, the higher frequency wave lifts the lower frequency wave up. Well, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what all the light
exactly.
workers are doing. And that's how we're creating a momentum now on the planet of ascension. And those who maybe are not awake yet, who are in the matrix programming, well, the stronger, you know, we have of all these light frequency waves lifting everybody up, they'll get lifted up. That'll impact them in some way, and kind of shake them awake. It will happen. When you talked about like how long will this take, though, I don't know. I keep getting pointed to 2020. There seems to be some really powerful astrology in 2020, and I think we could see some big shifts happening just in 2 years.
Yeah, I agree completely. And one of those is that, like, I feel that the whole extraterrestrial connection is just, like, bleeding out of the woodworks right now, you know?
Yeah.
And that by 2020, we're at least going to know that we're not alone in the universe.
That's true.
And that concept in itself is just going to, like, have people just reflect on themselves on a hardcore level. So that's why one of the components of what we're doing is that, plus the ancient civilizations, the history books are being rewritten right now. It's not like a joke. It's like actually happening. Alternative archaeology is becoming the mainstream this year. So it's like we're going to have to readdress the fact that we aren't the arrogant people that we thought we were, which are the most advanced civilizations that's ever existed on the planet. That's another component, you know?
So what a joke that
is. We're gonna be humbled by it all. Or we won't want to be around anymore because we're not humbled. Who knows?
It's gonna be interesting to see how the whole kind of collective reacts to that knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why like it truly is exciting times, right?
Yes, it is. I love it. I mean, I was back, you know, 20 years ago, I just was wondering if this was going to work. And now it's so exciting to see it. It is working and it is happening. And it is very exciting.
Yeah. And I feel, what would you say, actually, to those who said that nothing happened in 2012?
Oh, well, I think, okay, I'll just share what was one of the most poignant memories of 2012 for me on December 21st, the solstice of 2012. And I was up at Mount Shasta and leading, we were going up in the mountain, and then we led a big group of meditators to work with the energy there, because Mount Shasta is the root chakra, so we were helping anchor in the fifth dimensional field there. And I got this strong flash in my mind where it was like a big screening room, you know, kind of think of it like, you know, the big NASA room where they're mm-hmm. viewing their system, and it went blank. And I realized the controllers just lost the control of the matrix. And that's, to me, what has unraveled everything since then. Everything's unlocking and collapsing. And so, so again, it was more of an energetic event or spiritual event as opposed to a physical event that people were expecting, I think.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And there were certain components, like, for example, the U.S. Treasury after December 2012, they started clearing negative and showing the actual true balance. Yeah. And the U.S. economy that was in falling ever since its inception, because war is the only reason why the U.S. has not fallen, actually started backfiring on them. And then other little things. So it wasn't like what I even expected. I was like, oh, my God, maybe some ETs are going to land, right? It wasn't like that. It was like the systems have been pulled out, and now everything is unraveling. And we're like one of the guys that we've done events with, Gordon Ashra Davidson, he says the same exact thing. And he says basically that the overlords are gone, and the people, the peons that were doing all the work for them all, are just like scrambling around trying to maintain control, but they have no direction. So it's just it's just inevitable. It's inevitable that they're going to lose their power while we're being empowered.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It is a real shift in power. That's really, then this year seems, well, actually with these last year, this year and next year, these eclipses in Leo Aquarius is all about power and the shift in power that's happening. Yeah. So we have one more in this summer, and then next January, I think, it's happening. Those eclipses are happening on the north and south node of the planet. So everybody's getting affected by this shift in power.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
So it's literally in the stars, you know, empowerment.
We're getting cosmic support here.
Yeah, exactly. I believe it. Okay, so Meg, we only have a couple minutes here, but I want you to go ahead and tell us, you know, I know it's still a ways away, our event, but do you know what you're going to actually be sharing and what we can expect from you there? Maybe you can tell us a few of your appearances before then.
So in October, I'm going to do a workshop to walk everybody through the steps to unlock from the matrix, just a little bit of what we were talking about earlier, giving them the tools and the understanding of how to do it. And think of it like we were talking about the galactic void. Well, when we start unlocking the matrix, then we create, in a sense, an inner void within ourselves. It's a vacuum state. And what does a vacuum want to do? It wants to fill. So we're going to start filling with our soul presence. This is the big part of ascension is soul embodiment. So we start unlocking, clearing out the distortions and the time compression and the matrix programming. And then we fill inwards with our divine self, our soul presence. So we're going to do that in the workshop in October. And then between now and then, I am going to, like you said, I'll be in San Francisco doing the Ascension panel in April. And up until, let's see, October, I'm pretty much just doing interviews. I don't think I am now, but every month I do these global webcasts. And I am doing one tomorrow on the equinox. So we have a huge group of lightworkers come on to the show from all around the world, and we travel to the Great Central Sun at the Galactic Center. We get into the Stargate there and do alchemy activations on ourselves and then also on the planet. So tomorrow we're doing it during the equinox, which is a powerful Stargate of zero point equilibrium. So it's like a perfect seed moment, SEED, a seeding moment tomorrow. And then I'll be doing one in April and May, but then in June for the solstice, and then July and August we have those eclipses. We actually have three eclipses, two in July and one in August. So I'm going to be doing one global webcast for each eclipse, and we have the 8-8 Lions Gate happening in August 8th. So so a very busy summer with the global activations.
That's cool. And everybody can, if they wanted to work with you and be a part of your quantum access, you do that remotely, right?
Yeah, so do it all remotely, either on Skype or phone. And you can go to my website and click on schedule an appointment. It'll take you to my online calendar. And I do 30-minute sessions and 60-minute sessions, and I work fast. We dive in and we start unlocking stuff and opening things up and clearing and doing deep healing. Yeah, and just helping everybody get further into their soul service, their mission.
Beautiful. And what is your website?
NewEarthCentral.com. NewEarthCentral.com.
Awesome. Well, Meg, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. I'm extremely excited to have you be a part of this event in October. And this year is going to be amazing. And I'm just happy to be along your side while we're doing it.
Oh, thank you, Neil. I am too. I think, we're creating a big momentum here. And it's just thrilling to share the ride with you as well. So thank you.
Yes. You're very welcome. Let's do it. Okay. We'll talk later.
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.